We stand, let us pray. Lord Jesus, may your word be spoken and heard for the love of your name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm excited to begin a series called 8 Guaranteed Encounters with God. This is the first of 4 weeks. If you miss any Sunday, you can go online and hear them at christchurchoshawa.org, and you can listen if you're away or if you're at the cottage or wherever you might be. Listen to the sermon online, and we would invite you to engage. Pop me an email or, you know, if you have some questions about it, I'd love to hear it. There was a comedian named Yannick Smirnoff, and he emigrated to North America, and he said he'd never forget when he came to this country. He said, I'll never forget when I was walking down the grocery aisle, and I saw you could buy powdered milk. All you have to do is add water. Or you could walk down the orange juice aisle with powdered Tang, add water, and you get orange juice. And then I went down the baby powder aisle, add water. No, are you following me? Okay. It's not that simple. Just add water and you get a baby? Hang with me. It's okay to laugh in church. Really, it is. We have just added water and we baptized Sophie. Boy, it seems so simple. A little bit of anointing oil, vegetable oil that we set apart as anointing oil, and wow, there it is. She's in. She's on the team. Reminds me of the NHL draft, you know, when the guys are standing up there and they get the jersey and think, oh, they're so happy, like it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. There was a lot of preparation and sacrifice on the part of the parents and sometimes the siblings in order to get the NHL hockey player to the point where he actually gets drafted. Am I right? A lot of sacrifice. It's the same with this message today, these 8 guaranteed encounters with God. First, encounter with God comes through the gospel, which seems so simple. The kingdom of God has come near, Jesus says. Repent and believe the good news. Simple. Wow, there it is. Repent and believe the good news, the gospel, and good things begin to grow. Seems so simple. But it comes, as you know, as parents know, as grandparents know, as aunts and uncles know, when you love a family, you care for a family, it requires sacrifice. God loves his family. He loves his family so much. He's willing to pay that sacrifice so that we could be won back. Because let's face it, human beings, life in Canada is pretty good. You don't really think you need God, right? And yet he knows that we have this ache and a longing in our heart for something that's both simple and profound. And that's what he gives us in Jesus, something both simple and profound. There's a rapper who does this thing that Otto's going to put up on the screen here in a moment. It's basically the gospel in 4 minutes. I thought he does a really good job with this. And he's going to pull. Are you going to pull it up there for us? Yeah. This is the intro, Otto. There we go. What the Bible says about the gospel is, St. Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone. The word for power in Greek is dunamis, which sounds like dynamite. It is the power of God. It's like dynamite. So if Paul wouldn't have said it was like dynamite.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes, God. The maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance. Seen and unseen. What can and can't be touched. Thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans. God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold. It's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job and odd list of complaints. As if the system ain't working, and used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
God, our sins, paying everyone life. Sounds simple. Think of the sacrifice. This was for you. If you don't know Jesus, you don't really know life. Because we are we human beings with a spirit, or we're spiritual beings who happen to be human? This is a powerful message, and it requires a response. The gospel is just head knowledge, or some video on a screen, or some Sunday morning on Canada Day, unless there's some response. Maybe it's like the people in the Bible, they wanted to know more. Well, take the Alpha Course. Read your Bible. Pick up a New Testament. Go online to a Bible app, Our Daily Bread. Look at something that might lead you to answering some of your questions about this matter of faith. The gospel is where we encounter Jesus. The next way that we can grow, if we said yes to Jesus, is the Bible. We're going to have a Bible. We heard a Bible reading, and we're going to have Sarah up here in just a minute to tell us a story. The first Bible reading was 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." As growing up as an Anglican in Brooklyn, I don't think I ever really knew the gospel until I was an adult and was confronted with the good news. And when I said yes to Jesus, it didn't negate all the wonderful things that had happened beforehand, but it finally dawned on me. I finally kind of woke up. Jesus is real. He's alive. And he wants to have that place in your life that it would allow you to flourish. Because there's an enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy you. Jesus says, "I want you to have life." So I realize there's a new creation in me. It's not perfect like the guy said on the screen. I'm not perfect, but I look to the one who is to allow me to grow in grace, to grow in wisdom, to grow in confidence, to be all that God wants me to be as a person, as a father, as a brother, as a son, as an uncle. So, encounters with God, the gospel and the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'd like to Sarah to come up and just tell us her story. Sarah.
Kind of hits close to home for me. I have a few tattoos, and one of them is that passage, 2 Corinthians verse 5:17, and it's on the back of my neck, and I got it some time ago, and I wanted to be reminded every day of the changes I had made. I had been walking aimlessly for a period of time after some hardships in my life, and I wanted to make the change by following Jesus. Coming to church made me face the downfalls I had in myself and my life, and I wanted to see the good that life could bring. So each and every day, even though there was pain that came with the tattoo, it kind of went hand in hand with the pain that I had already suffered. I would come to church and I'd stand in the pew and think about all the things that were wrong with what I was doing. But by saying goodbye to all that old sin, the ways I was living my life, I could focus on being a better person, being able to have the strength to overcome anything. And that's sort of where this verse means to me, how it comes into my life. And I'll never forget the hard and bad things that happened, but I don't have to focus on that anymore because I can focus on Jesus and having him in my life instead, and having a wonderful family and two wonderful children. So that's sort of my story of where today's reading comes into play in my life.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah. We're almost done. I was baptized as an infant, came to Christ as a young adult. I don't deny all of the wonderful things that went on before, or the struggles that have been on since. One of the ways that I have grown in my salvation is through my wife, Diane. Diane has been part of my salvation story, my wife, Diane. We can find faith and see that in the community of faith and with each other, we are like sisters and brothers, helping us to be more and more than we could be on our own. You see, Jesus is not just my Savior on my baptism or on the day that I accepted Christ. He is my Savior every day. I turn to him every day. I need him every day of my life. And the Bible, why do I read it? I love God's presence. Reminded by his word, the one who gave me a mind to think and ask questions to be the best I can be. The Bible is inspired when I am deflated, rebukes me when I am tempted, reassuring me when I sin. Unique to Christianity, God is the author of this book, the Bible, and he's with me. The author is with me when I read it. It's like I can pour Jesus a cup of coffee along with my cup of coffee when I read the Bible in the morning, and he gets to be there with me, and I'm there with him. The Bible is spelled B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Get in the habit of reading the Word every day. You might encounter some things that are both challenging but life-giving. There's a lot of news out there in the world. Well, I don't know where you get your news, or even if you listen to news or listen to comedians who tell you the news. Listen to some good news, and you'll find an encounter that's worth listening to. Thanks be to God. As I conclude, I want to say a prayer for Sarah and for John. Let's pray. Father, you are awesome. I thank you for those years in the youth group with my dad, St. Thomas has spoken with Wayne and all the Oaks family. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us today, Canada Day 2018. Who would have thought to be able to baptize little Sophie Elizabeth? It's my wife's middle name, too. Thank you for Sarah and for her story and for being with her in her life and bringing her to today. It doesn't matter what's gone on in the past. What happens and what matters is today, that we might come to know you and say yes to you, to follow you all the days of our life. Thank you for that hope you give us in Jesus. And for John as well. For Anna and for Blake. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We invite you, if you wish, to make an offering during the offering hymn, Morning Has Broken.
Judge eternal, accept all we offer you this day and grant to our nation unity.